الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: فلا تزكوا أنفسكم هو أعلم بمن اتقى. Allah out of His bounty has blessed us with iman. And from the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put three groups in the world. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates towards these three groups. In Surah Tawbah, Allah explains, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. There is one group. They are the followers of the Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu anhum. So Allah speaks praises the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, the early people who accepted Islam, and all of the people in the Ummah who follow in their footsteps. That is obviously a high level, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us to that level, that we can really be followers of the Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu anhum. Thereafter Allah discusses a different group, a second group. وَآخَرُونَ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. There is a second group who acknowledge their faults. They acknowledge their weaknesses and their sins. And they do good actions also, they also do evil actions. خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. Some good actions, some bad actions. أَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. It is very likely that Allah will forgive them. And many ulama say that when this word asa comes in Quran, then generally what is meant is that it is almost certain that Allah will forgive them. And then Allah mentions a third group. This third group do the same like the second group. They also are believers. They also do good. They also have some evil in their life. But one thing they are missing, they are not admitting and acknowledging their sins. So Allah says, وَآخَرُونَ مُرْجَوْنَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Their matter is handed over to Allah. إِمَّا يُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَإِمَّا يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. If Allah wishes, Allah will punish them. And if Allah out of His kindness, there is no law which can bar and which can hold back Allah. If Allah wishes, He will forgive them. Regarding these people, Allah has not given a promise of forgiveness. But regarding the second group, Allah has given that promise. That a person who learns to acknowledge his mistakes and his faults. The reason why we are discussing this, why I am speaking about this, it was in my mind, I was thinking, that what is the thing really which is stopping us from progress? Why is it that we are not going ahead? Years are going by of our lives, and we are seeing that we are still where we were. Sometimes we are even behind. One of the main reasons for this year is that we haven't learned this quality of acknowledgement. To realize, I am full of faults, I am full of weaknesses. Say it with the tongue, everyone says it. But really, when it comes to the heart, what we really mean, what we really understand, majority of what we will say here, we have heard from Hazrat Murana. Murana had explained, there was a certain alim who would write to his sheikh, and whenever he would write to his sheikh, he would write there this najis, this absolute nothing. So one day he came to visit the sheikh, a senior alim also, and when the alim saw him coming from far away, he said, "Hey, look at the donkey, he's coming here." Now suddenly, now his face turns red, his ears turn red, now his temper goes up. How can he call me a donkey? And as he comes closer, then the alim said, come here, I see you're not very happy with the title I gave you. You don't like to be called a donkey. Whenever you write in your letters, you write naches, you nothing. You lucky, I took you from being nothing into being a donkey. So far I took you away, you are nothing. Really, it is just words we say. The reality has to come to our minds. May Allah bless me, may Allah bless us all. We have to realize we are faulty. If we are not going to realize, then the first sickness we will be affected with will be justification. For everything we will justify. Any person comes to us with a complaint, any person comes to us with a criticism, immediately the first thing, justification. No, this was the reason. No, that was the reason. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was in South Africa. Somebody was walking near the Dasturkhan. He kicked the glass, so the glass fell down. The water spilled. Hazrat asked, "What happened?" Somebody said, "The glass fell down." So Hazrat said, "Did it just fall by itself? Do glasses just fall? Somebody must have kicked it, somebody must have hit it down." So the person said, "Yes, I was the one, I was responsible." So Hazrat said, "Yes, say like that. It was me. I kicked the glass down." We are all like this here. We don't want to take responsibility. Not my fault. because of not being able to admit, because of this problem, the sickness, as Murana spoke about yesterday, that we are still in denial and defiance. It's not me. We hear a bayan, the first thing which comes to our mind, you know, I wish that person was here. If only he could have heard this bayan, it was very important for him. What about me? We come to the Isla'i Jalsa, how often we hear? You know, the youngsters, they lucky, mashallah, so many youngsters are going. They come into the Isla'i Jalsa. So many youngsters are going out in the path of Allah. Istima will be coming. And we need to take out the youngsters. We need to give bayans to the youngsters. We need to change the youngsters' thinking. So we all think like this here, the youngsters. But the elders, what about ourselves? What about each and every single one of us? Aren't we also faulty? Aren't there many, many weaknesses in ourselves? And this affects us in many, many ways. When a person thinks like this here, we justify. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Murana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullah, may Allah fali his qabr with nur. Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi, in his khanqa, in his life, he had one principle, that I love anybody who criticizes me. Anybody who would come with any criticism, jazakallahu khairan. If what the man is saying is right, Hazrat would immediately implement. And he would announce also, this person came, he brought this objection, jazakallahu khairan, we really appreciate it. Inshallah, from now on we will do so. And if it was wrong, Hazrat would still appreciate. And he would tell the person, jazakallahu khairan, and then he would explain his reason, and the matter would be solved, and it would be ended. What happens to us? We become upset. Who is he to come and tell me? Who he thinks he is? He is just my student. Somebody very close to me a few days ago, he said, you know, when I walk in the business as the boss, I have to remember two things. On the one hand, I have to remember I am the boss in my business. At the same time, I have to remember I am the slave of Allah. He said, you as an ustaz when you walk in class. So on the one hand, you have to remember you are an ustaz, you are going to teach. There has to be some kind of discipline in the class. But at the same time, you have to remember you are the slave of Allah. You are no better than that student. To take it out on that student, to mock that student, to make the student feel low and insignificant. Where this comes from? When we feel we are something. We feel that I have something within me. I have achieved something in my life. And then the result of this here is two things. We get ujb and we get bragging. This ujb and bragging are two of the most destructive problems a person can face in his life. So when a person is not ready to admit, and really in this world already, how much problems a person will have. Hazrat Murana generally gives this example. A person in our married lives, a husband and wife will live happily if one of them learns to give in. Just one of them. If both of them, mashallah, mubarak, what a happy marriage. But if one of them learns to give in, and although he decides certain things, he feels certain things, but you know, I just give in to my wife. Not in the commands of the Sharia, but in all other matters with regards to our lives. So one of the two partners decides, you know, I'll let go. If both of them are stubborn, adamant, they'll both lead themselves into a lot of problems. Hazrat Murana said the husband and wife were having an argument. So the husband decided he's not speaking to the wife. The wife decided she's not speaking to the husband. So the husband's thinking, now how are we going to solve this problem? I can't be the first one to speak. She's thinking, I also can't be the first one to speak. The next morning, he had an appointment very early. He had to make it for a plane flight. So, and he needed his wife. He gets him up every day. So he wrote a piece of paper next to his bed. He left it there. She was out. She wasn't in the house. And he said when she comes, he hung it up on the fridge. He put another one next to his bed. When she comes, she'll see the sign. Please wake me up tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I got a very urgent appointment and I have to make it for my flight at 9. So the next morning he wakes up. It's already 10. Flight is must. Appointment is must. Everything. So what happens? Husband, the nature is this here. So his temper also started flaring. He woke up, that wife of mine. How dare she? And he looks around the room and he sees another paper next to him. What's written there? It's written there, it's 8 o'clock. Wake up. If the husband, wife, both of them are not ready, then this is what is going to happen. When a person justifies himself, me, I am right. Maulana Musa mentioned, he mentioned this example a few times. He said there was a certain person, he went to one, he was an inspector. So he was inspecting the farms. He came to one farm, and the farmer came to see the inspector. So the inspector said, see this badge of mine, this badge. He feels he's something now, because I got this badge. I got a title, as Maulana said, we got clothing. So because of our clothing, we get fooled. We got a title. I am Maulana, I am Hafiz, I am Mufti, I am, and whatever, Sufi, and people give us titles, and we're so taken aback by all of these titles, we forget our reality. So this man said, you know, I am the chief inspector. See my badge. So this man said, no problem, you can inspect the whole farm, but that one area, just don't go there. He said, listen, I am the chief inspector. See my badge. I can go anywhere with this badge. So he said, okay, but you know, just let me just tell you. No, but I don't want to. This badge, this list allows me to go anywhere. That man said, fine, if you want to go, you go your way. A few, maybe 10, 15 minutes later, they hear that man running and he's screaming, help, help, the bull. There was one bull there, a very wild bull, and after this man now. So the farmer screams out to him, says, show him your badge, show him your badge. Your badge was so great, it did nothing for you. Our title is so great, it's not going to do anything for us. I feel, people praise me, people, Imam Saab of the Masjid. And because of this year, we get fooled. All of us generally, we are, alhamdulillah, in a deeni environment. We're performing 5 times salah. So I think everyone else, they need to be corrected. Me, I'm there in the masjid. A jamaat will come also. You know, don't speak to me. That person there, he needs it very badly. We haven't seen him in the masjid for so long. And my beloved brothers, let me tell you, there were many, many people who we never see in the masjid for so long. But when we calculated their iman at the time of death, then we can put our heads down in shame. A certain uncle of mine mentioned to us there was a certain film actor. Many people might have known him in the old days. We never heard of him. Some Kumar, Dilip Kumar, something like this. Yeah. So anyway, he, a Muslim man, but he acted, many years he acted. My uncle went for Umrah a few years ago, and this man was there present. He had also come for Umrah. So Hazrat Mawlana Khatib Ahmad Madani Rahimahullah's grandson was telling my uncle that this man is here. Few days later, my uncle was going to the Haram in Medina Munawwara, and he sees the same actor walking in front and a whole lot of fans running behind. And my uncle just thought to himself, look at this person and look at all of these people. How can they follow a man like this? What he did in his life? What sins he had committed? What evil? And he showed the world. He exposed it to the world. And here in the Haram of Medina Munawwara to be running behind him. So he said, I felt a little bit like this here. When I went to Makkah Mukarramah, somebody mentioned to me that this same person, when he came to Makkah Mukarramah, Madani's grandson met him. So he said, this man here, when he left India, he had taken a loan from somebody to come for Umrah. And he said to that man that all my earnings of my life is haram. So I want to take halal when I go to Allah's house. He said, every morning he goes to the Kaaba. And for hours and hours on end, he cries by the Kaaba, begging Allah for forgiveness. We would think a movie actor. But by Allah, that person is beloved. By Allah, that person is chosen. And me and you, this year there's this feeling that, you know, I am something. Mutarrif ibn Shikhir rahimahullah said, he said, sometimes I prefer that I sleep the whole night, I don't read tahajjud. Whereas tahajjud was common for it. He said, I prefer to sleep the whole night without tahajjud and wake up with remorse, sad. That, hey, oh Allah, please forgive me. I'm so useless. I can't even read tahajjud salah. Compared to that I stay the whole night awake. And then in the morning when I wake up, I feel, you know me, I was there awake, a whole night I spent in tahajjud salah. And somebody tells me something that day. There's a famous saying in Arabic, they say, صَلَّ الْحَائِكُ رَكْعَتَيْن ثُمَّ انْتَظَرَ الْوَحِي. There was a person, he was a tailor. One day he read 2 rakat nafal namaz. One day he read tahajjud salah. Now he's sitting, he's waiting for wahi. He thinks he became the greatest wali of Allah on the surface of the earth. We also, like this year, we become so fool. Little bit a'mal came in my life, little bit outward deen, just outward. But we feel, you know me, there's nobody like me. Hum chuni digarin, there's nobody else like me in the world. Whereas the reality in front of Allah is this year, that person who brings himself down, who understands, I am faulty, I am weak, I am useless. This quality has to come in us. When we look at ourselves, as Marana had said yesterday, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised Abu Zar radiallahu anhu, he said, let your faults make you unmindful of the faults of other people. Look so much at your own faults. Our biggest stumbling block is this, that we're not looking at our faults. We see everybody else, we see everything else. But here, this one heart which is with us day and night, the faults in this heart here, many times haven't even opened up to us. Sometimes many people ask, but what wrong do I have? What? That is the biggest wrong. What greater wrong can there be than this year that a person feels, I got nothing wrong. And if we look in the life of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, the life of the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum, people who were promised Jannah. But really when you see their lives, it was just crying before Allah. I did this one mistake. Dawood alayhi salam, connected to this year also, Dawood alayhi salam on one occasion, he made a claim. Allah never doesn't like claims. He made a claim in the house of Dawood, not a day goes past in which there is no fasting in this house, and not a night goes past in which at every moment, ibadat of Allah is not being made. So Allah doesn't like claims when a person feels. Dawood alayhi salam was of his position and level. For him it wasn't a claim. He was in actual fact expressing his gratitude to Allah. But in those words which he said, he did not attribute it to Allah. Like this year, Allah made tarbiyat of Dawood alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his own lifetime, just very shortly after that, Allah made such a scene, such an occasion, wherein Dawud alayhi salam's attention was taken up. He was supposed to be making ibadat at that time in the night. And at that time, he couldn't make ibadat of Allah. A few days ago, he was saying, at every moment of the night, ibadat is being made in the house of Dawud. Few days later, now there was no ibadat. As soon as Dawud alayhi salam realized this, he fell down crying. And he begged Allah. Allah quotes this in Quran to remind us. The small mistake of Dawud alayhi salam, but in sajda he fell and he cried to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously forgave. We look in the life of the Anbiya. We see this habit. It was common amongst them to cry in front of Allah. Why? Because they saw their small mistakes. That one day that my heart was turned away from Allah. Can there be a greater sin than that Allah gave us a heart to remember Him and we remember anybody else? Can there be a greater sin than this? Can there be any greater disrespect? A person stands in salah and he's speaking to his Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant, turn your attention to me. And he turns his attention away. And Allah says, my servant, turn your attention to me. There's nothing better than me. And he turns his attention away. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, that you turn your attention away from me who is the greatest to something else. Go you and your salah. Really, we performing salah days are going by like this. But has the thought ever come, my salah is not correct. I haven't, how many sins? Our ibadah, that is one thing we have to make tawbah and istighfar for. How many sins in our life we don't even realize and regard as sins. The sin of ghibat has become so common. Al-iyadu billah. We make ghibat and we justify it. We say, I know it's wrong, but. I know it's haram, but. In other words, in this situation and circumstance, nothing wrong. And like this year, we destroy everything. It's not regarded as a sin. Today, photography is such that hardly people regard it as a sin. Everyone has photos on their phones. Everyone is looking at videos, whether it be of bayans, whether it be of whatever. And that's all majority of the time an excuse. Behind that, there is a lot other haram also. But a person just gives that excuse outwardly. The thought doesn't come to a person's mind, I am committing sin. Wherever we may be, may Allah protect us. There are many sins like this in our life. Hasad is a thing. It's there in the heart. We don't realize it's a sin. This one sin, when we become so adamant in our ways, that we admire ourselves. It's called ujb. This is a sin which we hardly even realize is a sin. And we're living like this, yeah, that I am okay, there's nothing wrong with me. Whereas in actual fact, this is the biggest sin. A person regards himself to be something, and he forgets everything that he got has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three things which this will utterly destroy a person. The first is shuhun muta', when a person has greed and he follows this greed. Today this is one great evil sin which has spread across us, and we can see across the world that greed, materialism has become the in thing. The second thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hawan muttaba', a person follows his desires. This is bad also, and we see how much sins take place today because of following desires. But the third one, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man admires himself. I'jabul mar'i bi nafsihi. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wahiya ashadduhunna. From all three, this is the worst. You admire yourself. You feel, you know me, I am okay. The reason we are not progressing is, Allah says in Quran, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't ever regard yourself to be pure. Don't ever regard yourself to be clean. It is common we say, but my heart is clean, you know. Outwardly I might have some faults and some mistakes, but people mustn't judge me. My heart is clean. The statement, my heart is clean, is an impossibility if we are committing sins. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself explained, when a person commits sins, his heart becomes black. A person who has sins in his life, his heart can never be clean. A person whose heart is clean, Uthman radiallahu anhu said, that man whose heart is clean, he will never tire from tilawat of the Quran. Here we can all judge ourselves. How much tilawat of Quran we make, and we can then see really how clean is our heart. So anyway, this is something very important. Ujb, this, when we admire ourselves, comes because of many reasons, and there is no real time to go into the details. Some people become proud over, they admire themselves over their beauty. Some people over their wealth, some people over their strength. But specifically in our context, because of our knowledge, a person admires himself. Me, you know my opinion, and this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so worried about. وَإِعْجَابُ الْمَرْءِ بِرَأِيهِ. My opinion is everything. Today we sit in gatherings and we pass our opinions regarding each and everything. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah said regarding this, he said this is the most destructive type of ujb. Because when a person is involved in this here, number one, he doesn't know it's a sin. Number two, nobody can explain to him, because he sees my opinion is the best. And nobody can bring a better opinion than mine. Somebody would advise him and tell him, brother, don't speak things like this here. Brother, what you are saying is incorrect, but my opinion, you know, I thought about the matter. And many, many people, we have this here in our minds. Me, I thought about it. I used my brains. I thought properly about this. This is my decision in this matter. This is what the ulama need to do. This is what these people need to do. Then only matters can come right. This is how to solve all the problems in the world. I thought about it. I realized the people's problem is this. We forgot the problem is ourselves. When we are so happy with ourselves, that me, I know everything. Me, my decision, this was my research, this was my thinking, this is my knowledge. This has to come out of us, this my. Otherwise, really, it will bring a person to absolute destruction. Many of us have heard, that there were great people in the ummah. There was a murid of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah. One day he came to, he spent many years as he was leaving the Khanqa, he asked for some advice. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah said to him that when you go home, don't try to become Allah and don't try to become a Nabi. He said, what advice is this now? I am a Muslim and 10 years I spent in the Khanqa and you're telling me I mustn't try to become Allah? It's not a possibility. And I mustn't try to become a Nabi. What does that mean? So Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah said, many people, they want everything to be according to their wishes. Don't expect everything to happen according to your wishes. Hand over your matters to Allah. Because it is only according to Allah's wish that everything happens. A person who wants everything to happen according to his wish, he wants to, so to say, take the place of Allah. And the Nabi of Allah, he is ma'asoom, he is divinely protected. He cannot make sin. Allah has protected him and protected his mind and his knowledge. A Nabi of Allah will not falter. Every other person can make a mistake, can make serious mistakes, can commit sins. Don't ever regard your opinion to be such that there is no other opinion. What I feel is right and nothing else. He said, this year now what you are doing, you are making yourself like a Nabi. Only the Nabi was such that what I say that is deen, nothing else. Every other person, many times a person feels this is right, and later on only to realize I was totally wrong in the whole thing. Sometimes it's because of our piety. A person gets a little bit deen in him and he feels, you know, there's nobody like me. And this piety here affects a person, so-called outward piety. By Allah, it's like nothing. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, regarding this year, he quoted those ayats that a person will come to in front of Allah, the biggest loser. يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ الصُّنَعَ. They thought they're doing so much good action. When they came to Allah, they found they were the biggest losers. They lost their profits, they lost the cash, their capital, everything they lost. And they thought, when I'm going to go in front of Allah, I'm going to find so much. Don't ever, may Allah protect me, may Allah protect us all. We must never fall in this deception that, you know, everything is okay. I am okay, my life is okay. You know me, I think a lot about akhirat. You know me, I am ready to go to meet Allah. My heart is clean. When a person is thinking like this, I read tahajjud for the last 30 years, I'm reading tahajjud. My dear friends, respected elders and brothers, many, many people made claims like this year, and after that it was absolutely destroyed. This boasting is another thing connected to this year. It destroys a person. There was a rich man in Pakistan. On one occasion, they were standing with some friends having ice cream on one road corner, and he boasted. This is another thing. Many of us, unfortunately, you know me, this word, you know me, is going to start off one terrible sequence of boasting which is not going to come to an end. You know me. You know I think like this. You know me. And it comes so much in our speech, sometimes we don't even realize it. So anyway, he said, so his friends were discussing, they were saying, you know, prices are going up, things are very difficult, life is getting hard, business is hard. So we don't know where to do business, we don't know how to make better profits. He said, you people, what you are talking about? You all don't know where to make money from. Me, I don't know where to spend my money. So much money I have that for the next 21 generations of my children, there'll be enough money. If they don't work also, they'll have enough. Just boasting. He said, so much money there'll be. When Alim said, I was in the very same area, this man passed away a few months later. He only had one son who was his inheritor and his wife. That son inherited all of his fortunes. He was a young boy. And he started spending on haram. He womanized. He went to every club. He went to every disco. He went to every evil place. When in his area he found it wasn't enough, he went to another area, a third area. He went overseas, he went to Hong Kong and Thailand. And he did whatever haram he wanted to do with every woman. He did the worst of sins, he spent money like water. And it was just a few years later, he had to sell his father's fields, Till finally his situation became such he had to sell his own house also. After his house was sold, the same corner where his father boasted, 21 generations will have enough money. That same corner, this alim says, I saw that boy standing there with a begging bowl, begging for food. The same, this is boasting. When a person, just today, this morning, somebody mentioned to me, there was a certain alim here within our country. So he said, and many of us, we say, you know, youngsters today, they don't know how to keep marriages. You know, youngsters today, they're so immature. You know, these people here, they don't know how to look after their children. You know, those people there, they don't know how to do business. We say like this here. One alim said, you know, today, so many people, they give their wives three talaq, just like that there. And they don't even think, and then after that, they want to do halala, and then get married to their wives again. So this alim was quoting this incident. He said, it wasn't a few years later, that man woke up one day, he had an argument with his wife, and he doesn't know what came to his mind, three talaq he gave. And then the process of halala, and he got married to his wife again. He came and admitted, he said, I realized. That day I said it, I was boasting. Me, I know very well. Don't ever boast in front of Allah. What test a person will be put through by boasting? Really, we cannot imagine. So anyway, now we understand this is the problem. This ujb. We mustn't feel ourselves to be anything. Understand that every moment I am faulty, I need to look at my faults. Wear those glasses in which we can only see good in everybody. Alhamdulillah, really, when many times we come to the khanqah and we meet Hazrat Murana himself and many of the brothers in the khanqah, when we see them and we hear their discussions, so they are only discussing, you know, I saw that person, what a good quality. You know, I went to that place, I met this person, I wish I had this quality. We must all be thinking like that. And it must never be, you know, I got this here, you know, I do this here, you know, I run my business like this. That I mustn't come. Look at other people. When we look at ourselves, only look with this eye that I am useless. And when we look at each and every other person, look with this eye that he got qualities which are so beloved in front of Allah. And every person in the world got qualities. A person who thinks like this here, this is the beginning stage of becoming the beloved of Allah. A person asked Aisha radiallahu anha, When will a person enter into sin? When will he be a sinner? مَتَى يَكُونُ الرَّجُلْ مُسِيئًا How will a person start in evil? She said, إِذَا ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ مُحْسِنٌ The day he thinks he's good, that's the day evil is starting in his life. So this is that one thing. For this year, Mashayikh give one or two very pertinent advices how to save ourselves. One is whatever blessings Allah has blessed us with, always attribute it to Allah. The way of saving ourselves from the tricks of shaitan is وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ Shaitan said, I'm going to attack them from every side. Oh Allah, most of them you won't find making shukr. Meaning that only those who make shukr will be protected from shaitan. If we want to be protected from this, Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi ta'ala wa Hazrat, he said, تَشَكُّرُ وَرْتَكَبُرْ كَبِي جَمَعْ نَهِ وَسَكْتَ When a person has this quality of always thanking Allah, then inshallah, pride will never enter into his heart. However, never boast and then say, I am thanking Allah. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi was giving a bayan one day. And in the bayan he said, you know, today I'm going to tell you something. And I'm saying it by way of tahdith and ni'mat. I'm mentioning to you Allah's favor upon me. But you will never hear this from anybody else. And he just said that and he said, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And then he said, you see, that was bragging. And I used deen to cover up my bragging. And I realized immediately the chore, the thief in my nafs. I realized what I said is a sin. And because I committed this sin openly, I'm making tawbah openly. I should have never. So don't brag. But understand, always attribute things to Allah. Oh Allah, you gave it to me. Hazrat Mawlana gave this a beautiful example. He said like, two people were traveling. One man was getting married, he was the bridegroom. And they were traveling to the next area to go. And they were passing by a few different villages. So the bridegroom was going with his friend. He asked his friend, can you lend me a beautiful shawl? I want to go for the wedding, so I want to look smart. So his friend lent him his friend borrowed it to him, and he was wearing it, and they're traveling now, and they came to the first area. So some people asked, hey, what's happening here? People are walking past, these people are going past. So the friend said, this is the groom, this is the bridegroom, and he's going to get married. But you know this shawl on top of him, the shawl belongs to me. So this man, he went out, he said, hey, what an embarrassment. Why you had to tell them? You never had to mention who the shawl belongs to. You could have left the matter secret, it would have been finished. They went to the next area, so the friend said, okay, no, next time I'll never tell anybody. They went to the next area, so they met a few people there. So the people asked, what's happening? He said, no, this is the bridegroom, he's going. And you know the shawl on his body, I won't tell you anything about the shawl. So like this year, we also, everything which is borrowed, we want to attribute to ourselves. And we also want that it's me. People must say, you know, he is like this here. And this quality has to come out. Everything is Allah's. Allah gave everything. Oh Allah, all is your favor. This is the first thing. And the second thing is, don't forget our origin. Don't forget where we came from. Don't forget our past. Don't brood over it also. But at the same time, don't forget we have done many things which could destroy our akhirah. A person who always remembers his past, and he always remembers where he was, this person will progress. A person who forgets his past, he forgets his reality. Umar radiallahu anhu, one day came on the minbar, and he gave a khutbah. And what he said in the khutbah, he said, you know, when I was a young boy, nobody, I had no food to eat. I was hungry. So I went to work for some aunties of mine. I would graze sheep and goats. At the end of the day, they used to give me one handful of dates and one handful of raisins. And what my entire day, I would be looking after the sheep and going and fetching water. And he went down from the minbar and he ended the khutbah. So when Sahabi came to him, he said, what are you doing? You just went on the khutbah, you embarrassed yourself and you came down. He said, you know, the thought came to my mind. I am the Khalifa of the Muslims. There must be something in me. So I wanted to remind myself of my origin, where I came from. Don't forget where we came from. Don't forget whatever Allah has given, He has given it. It's not me. And at the same time, don't forget what we have in our accounts before. If a person remembers this year, inshaAllah, we keep it in mind always. This ujb, this pride, this arrogance, and before pride and arrogance, this self-conceit, and this, when we look at ourselves with admiration, self-admiration, this will come out of us. May Allah give me tawfiq. May Allah grant us all tawfiq. Don't be fooled by the praises of people. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu mentioned it. He would make a very beautiful dua. He used to say, whenever anyone praised him, Allahumma ghfirli ma la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, there are many things of these people don't know about me. Forgive all of that which happened in my life. وَلَا تُعَخِذْنِي بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. They're saying good things about me. Oh Allah, tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, don't take me to task because of this year. وَاجْعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِّمَّا يَظُنُّونَ. And he used to say, oh Allah, make me better than what the people think about me. May Allah grant me this realization, grant it to all of us, and grant us tawfiq then of progressing in this path of suluk by realizing we are faulty, and that is what we need this tazkiyah for. That is why we have come for the program. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.